Good morning. It is 10 o'clock, December 17, 2025. This is a regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, which I call to order. I'm joined today by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Jill Kringstead, so we have a quorum. For opening comments, I regret to say that after nearly three quarters of a decade as our executive director and nearly half a century at the North Dakota Public Service Commission, Steve Call is leaving us at the end of this month, just when I felt he was kind of hitting his stride. We get somebody all trained in, and then it's disappointed if they leave early like that. But anyway, Steve, beyond these last 13 years that I've gotten to work with you here, I've gotten to work with you for about a quarter of a century, I guess, going back to some of the legislative days. And at first, I found you just very, very frustrating because of the issues that we were dealing with. And then as I learned more, I realized that you were right about a lot of that stuff that we were fighting about. And we got along a lot better, but I still find you frustrating sometimes.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Especially when you point out issues where you were right and I was wrong. That's the worst. But anyway, it is a void that's going to be incredibly hard to fill here, Steve. I'm going to really miss you. Glad that we've got a couple more weeks to wrap up some loose ends. But I think on behalf of commissioners going all the way back to the Carter and Link administrations, I think commissioners would probably all say that they're very grateful for the time that you've dedicated to the Public Service Commission and to North Dakota.
Well, thank you. I think it's been 15 commissioners I've served.
Good run. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Well, I don't have as much information because I'm younger. And I'm not going to use the word frustrating like Randy did. But good for the clarification. And you were wrong and he was right, huh?
Yeah.
Did you write that down? You have it recorded.
Got it recorded.
I'm glad you're not leaving us for bad reasons. You're leaving us, hopefully for very good reasons, a well-deserved retirement. And I hope you can do a lot in that retirement that gives you a peace of mind and not hooked to your phone or keeping everyone in line or in up to date. As they say, I'm just going to say well done, Steve.
Thank you.
Well done.
And I suspect we'll be seeing each other around. I plan to stay involved in matters, so we'll see how that works.
Commissioner Kringstead?
I'm not going to echo a lot of what my colleague said, even though some of it may be true. Steve, I think I won't go into a lot of details just because we are going to have a celebration for you tomorrow, and I don't want to ruin all the fun and surprises that are coming for there. So I think I'll save my longer speech for there. But I, for one, just feel incredibly grateful just because I think you and I, with coming from staff before I moved into this role, I really got the opportunity to work with you very, very closely behind the scenes when we would, we kind of talk about the days that we would come from 8 to 5 and do our day job and then be here for another couple hours till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, batting cleanup, go home, have supper, call each other at 10, debrief for the next day and do it all over again. And so your knowledge not only of this this agency, but of just history and processes and the why behind why we're doing things is just unmatched. And the work that you've done here, your entire career, but especially as our executive director, I think has just really set our agency up for longstanding success in the future. And there's a lot of things that you have done that are hard to quantify, and people probably don't even know happened. It was a lot of, I'll call it fire prevention, because you took care of things before the fire even had a chance to break out and we had to deal with it. So thank you for all that you've done. You will be missed, but I know you won't be a stranger around here.
Well, thank you. 46 years with this agency, and I really appreciate all of the opportunities that this agency and government in general has afforded me. I've got to see things from the years dealing with the legislative process that a lot of people don't ever see. I've got to engage in some fairly interesting discussions, some of them pleasant, some of them less so, but all of them with good intent and with a very, and sometimes consequential, results. So from that standpoint, it's been a very, very interesting run for me, and I appreciate all the opportunities that all of the commissioners from 79 till now have afforded me. So I've enjoyed working here for the most part. Every job has its ups and downs, but it's been a good agency to work for, and I have appreciated all of the opportunities I've been afforded. So thank you.
Okay. Before we move into business, would you all stand and join me in pledging our allegiance? Oh.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We've had some new additions as early as this morning. Are there any other changes on our consent agenda?
Yes. Chair Christman, I would like to pull consent SH1 and consent SH6 to the regular agenda due to the nature of the content and people having that request. So.
Okay, so there were 10. Anything else? There were 10 items. That leaves 8 items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those 8 items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
That was number 6 also, correct?
Yep. And I'll
1 and 6.
Yep. And I'll move them to the end.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And since the bulk of this falls into a few portfolios, all of which are to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer, I turn it over to you.
Thanks for saying that with a straight face.
In honor of your last commission meeting, Steve, it's the sherry day for you. So, let's see, I have... plenty, like 7 of them. So we'll just take our time. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Safe Dig Services, LLC, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number DM24-391.
Second.
On December 31st of this 2024, the commission received a one-call complaint. The complaint alleges that SafeDig violated our Century Code by beginning an excavation before the locations were identified. So on December 10th, SafeDig provided an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call with work to begin on December 13th to conduct a hydro evacuation on the north side of 63rd Street Northwest and east of 125th Avenue Northwest in Epping, North Dakota. A one-call ticket number was assigned. On December 12th, Kinder Morgan operator arrived to conduct the locate and observed that SafeDig had already potholed the Kinder Morgan 4-inch steel-coated petroleum pipeline. There was no damage to the pipeline, and what a pothole means, it's a water and vac truck that goes down. They put water in to do the location of the pipeline. So the summary of it is that they put in the excavation notice, the one-call ticket. They didn't allow them to come and locate. They did the dig. Therefore, a violation did occur. So due to that violation of the one-call, they are assessed a civil penalty of $500, and they need to remit that to the Public Service Commission within 10 days. And I support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Thermal Market Energy Pricing Rider Tariff and Rate, case number PU-25-203.
Second.
On June 9th, Otter Tail filed an application for approval of this new Thermal Market Energy Pricing Rider. We sent out a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments were received. On September 25th, we did hold an informal to discuss the matter with Otter Tail. So this proposed voluntary thermal market energy pricing rider allows customers with thermal storage technology in a demand of at least 25 megawatts to be served by Otter Tail on a non-firm basis. The thermal thermal market energy price rider will be available to new greenfield customers and locations that use thermal storage technology. No services can be rendered under this thermal market energy pricing tariff except in accordance with the terms of the ESA approved by the commission. And at this time, they have inquiries. Otter Tail has no customers, but because this rider hasn't been approved, but they do have inquiries. This rider was approved in South Dakota, and they do have a customer, and because of that, they wanted to bring it to North Dakota, and also they are filing it, according to them, in Minnesota so that they have the consistency to the customers. So based on the information received, I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company AMDT Cost Recovery 2026 Rates, case number PU-25-232.
Second.
On August 1st, we received the request for the approval of its metering and distribution technology cost recovery rider for 2026. We issued a notice of opportunity. On November 6th, we held an informal with Otter Tail. on November 13th, we received supplemental filings with the rate details based on our inquiries from our informal, and we received that information. Uttertail proposes a $3.7 million revenue requirement to be collected for the customers from January 1st to December 31st, 2026. This is an increase from the previous year. The increases is a combination of increase in annual true-up related to AMI. There's also carryover. So with the total revenue requirement and the increases, due to the fixed nature of the proposed charge, all standard residential customers would see an increase of $1.21 per month from the previous year. And the previous year rate was $1.07. So that would bring it up to $2.28. They have submitted all the requirements and information, and I support this rate increase.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And I think if I understand this, there was sort of a curve on this. This should be the peak then, right? And after this, they should start to decline.
Right. And rate, they did note there is O&M savings, but they didn't complete it. So this is those final costs, and then we're hoping it will go down.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2026 rates, case number PU-25-248.
Second.
On September 10th of 2025, NSP filed a request for approval for the 2026 Renewable Energy Rider. The rider covers all renewable energy generation not previously reflected in the retail sales. On September 24th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. And it's always said that we have the authority without a hearing that we can make a determination. The 2026 rate would apply to all energy billed to each customer effective starting January 1st, 2026, like I've indicated. The rate would cover costs of six previously approved projects: Freedom Boer Wind, Dakota Range 1 and 2, Noble Winds Repower, Grand Meadows Repower, Border Winds Repower, and Pleasant Valley Repower. Upon completion of our December 24th electric rate case, all projects except Border Wind Repower and Pleasant Valley Repower will be moved into that rate base for recovery, and a final true-up will occur. NSP proposes a current rate revenue requirement of about $5.2 million, an increase of $848,000 from 2025. There is no significant project changes or cost variance associated with the forecast of the revenue requirement for any of the capital projects since its last filing. As a result of the change, a residential customer consuming 750 kilowatts will experience a 30 cent per month or a total monthly charge of $1.83. After considering the application and all the information, we find that these rates are prudent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the tariff and rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Ottertail Power Company Administrative Tariff Changes in Rate Schedule, Tariff and Rates, case number PU-25-290.
Second.
On November 7th, 2025, Ottertail filed an application for revision to its LED light and area lighting tariff and its LED street and area lighting rate scheduled to incorporate a new pole type, the double davit standard 40 inch. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting the hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by January 30th, 2026. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. And this is, I found this application to be a little interesting, learning about this new pole and how much, who's requesting it, and also the supply chain. It takes a year out to get this pole. So it will be interesting to know if there's a request going on right now and how they're going to handle the supply chain, or I would call it the work plan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I'm going to proceed to the two items that were on the consent that I moved to regular, and they have to do with decommissioning plans. I move the commission approve the decommissioning plan and the request to execute the letter of credit filed on November 26, 2025 in the Badger Wind LLC 251.6 megawatt Badger Wind Project Logan and McIntosh decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-24-345.
Second.
Thank you. So the commission has approved decommissioning plans in the past. We just have two that are soon going into operation. For Badger Wind, they submitted, and their wind consists of 92 wind turbines with a total nameplate capacity of up to 250 megawatts and an expected commercial operation date in December 2025. Excluding the salvage offsets and the total cost to decommission the facility is approximately $24.75 million, or they average it out to about $269,000 per wind turbine. I just want to say that according to Chapter 6909, we were required to write rules regarding wind decommissioning, and it's very detailed on what they have to submit. And looking at the plans, they're not apples to apples because each wind farm has a different project area. They could have different number of turbines, everything. I mean, there's a lot of differences. So it's, if you read one commission decommissioning plan and you think it's this price per turbine and you go to another one and it's lower, you think, why the difference? Well, there could be a lot of reasons for the difference, as indicated, the number of turbines, the project area, etc. So staff does a good job. You know, it's an estimate coming in, hopefully a good, pretty strong, good estimate. But after an operation, they have to refile in 10 years the decommissioning plan. So with this first one, Badger Wind, I find it acceptable in looking at it, and I support approving the decommissioning plan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to say thank you for explaining that, because over the years when we first started this process, and I was also, I use this figure all the time too for like an initial rough feel of the estimate that we got in, because we don't have staff to go out and do all the work it would take to figure out what it's going to take, like we do with coal reclamation. And so part of our rules process is we rely on them to provide an unaffiliated third-party engineer's estimate. And We have to rely on that. And so just for a rule of thumb, it's easy. And like I say, I use it. Others tend to rely on it real heavily from the public. How much per turbine? Divide it out. And in this case, it's such a classic example because the turbines are about the same size. And so you'd think just the amount per turbine should be pretty similar. And you said the number, and explain, I didn't remember the number. You said this one has 92 turbines. The next one on the agenda is, I don't recall, like 70 or something like that.
Yeah,
so when they would get in contractors with these enormous cranes and stuff, they're going to get a better deal per turbine on this. I think the other big thing that, and you mentioned it with the territory, but just the amount of roads they have to plan to reclaim. In the case of Badger, there's about 36 miles of road, and in the next one, there's 29. And so you divide 7 more miles of road to reclaim among those turbines, and it adds up to a change too. So even though this one is like $30,000 per turbine more than the next one, people shouldn't just assume that we're way under funding the financial security that we have for the next one. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you pointing those things out. The other thing I just want to highlight here while we're together and can discuss reclamation, and this isn't so totally case specific, but it applies to all cases. I really worry as we get more and more and more of these wind farms about the reclamation process sometime when it comes time to reclaim those roads. I've yet to see a wind farm with a big topsoil pile like you see at coal mines. And I understand the point, because if you, the coal mines, it keeps rotating, you pile all the topsoil from all these roads for 30 or 40 years till a wind farm comes down. There's not going to be any material in there for plants to grow from. And so it's going to have to really be supplemented a lot, and a big process there too. So my understanding is they're usually just kind of blading that topsoil over into the ditch a little bit, with the assumption that then when it comes time to reclaim those roads, they'll peel a little bit of that back off. I'm really not really believing that's going to work. Especially when you get in areas where, these are on hilltops, not in the valleys. I mean, the roads go everywhere, but a lot of them are on the hilltops. There's not a lot of topsoil there to start with. And when they blade a little bit more out on what's there, and so then they're going to go out into what you would, like the area on either side of their roads, and peel off a couple of inches, then it has to all be reseeded. And that work just isn't that precise when it's done with big equipment. And I hope these engineers and companies from places like Florida aren't thinking that they can just, that it's like a county, and if you want to buy some gravel or you want to buy some fill clay, you just ask a few farmers and somebody's got some within a few miles, and you buy some and haul it over. Farmers aren't selling their topsoil off of the fields. And so I think at some point here, maybe in our reclamation process, we should do a little bit of investigation into how the topsoil work is going to work, so that in future cases, maybe we want to do something different. Maybe what's being done is perfect. I just am a little bit skeptical of it, and thought that with two of these up, not looking back on them, I mean, these are what our rules require, but for the future, perhaps we should be doing some investigation into how that's going to work.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve the decommissioning plan and cost estimates filed on December 2nd, 2025, and approve the request to execute the rider to cover the operational phase of the decommissioning financial assurance filed on December 9th, 2025, in the Bowman Wind LLC, Bowman Wind Project, Bowman County Decommissioning Plan and Costs, case number PU-25-147.
Second.
So Bowman Wind is currently constructing a wind facility that is anticipated to include 74 GE 2.82 megawatt turbines with a nameplate capacity of 208.7 megawatts. On December 2nd, 2025, Bowman filed a decommissioning plan and cost estimate with the commission. The cost estimate was $17.6 million without salvage offset, which equates to approximately $238,000 per turbine. On December 9th, 2025, Bowman filed approval to execute a rider to modify its existing construction phase decommissioning security bond such that it could be used as its operational phase decommissioning security bond. Therefore, the rider would change the amount of the bond to $17.6 million in the term of the bond to comply with the commission's operational phase decommissioning rules. Staff, along with myself, have reviewed the plan and cost estimate and the rider, and they fulfill the commission's requirement, and we recommend approval of the decommissioning plan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Already? Any other additions? Okay. In a moment, we'll stand in recess and take some questions for the press, but later we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. Is there a desire for a break in between those two? Hmm. Okay. With that, we will stand in recess and take questions from the press.